It's no secret we encourage you to experience the joy of relying less on your automobile to get where you're going.
That's right, and we'll find out what one local champion and a growing team are doing to make it easier and more joyful to walk or roll your wheelchair around town.
Next on Loving the Springs, where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest in Manitou and Colorado Springs.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts, the cure for common apathy and indifference. Reported side effects include a sense of being informed and engaged. Ask your doctor if Studio 809 is right for you.
The second Colorado Springs Walkability Summit took place on September 19th, 2025. In this episode, we're going to talk about that summit and get to know the local hero behind it.
So in the studio with us right now is Lilia Gibson Green. Lilia, you are a local champion. You have been working for some time to make our city better, and in particular to make Southeast Colorado Springs better and more walkable, right?
Yes, this is true.
You are founder of COS Walk the Walk, which is a fairly new company that operates like a nonprofit.
This is true. However, it will be by the end of the year. A 501c3.
You also happen to be the District 4 Community Coordinator for Hey Neighbor.
Yes, I am.
Used to be Kono, and now it's Hey Neighbor.
Yes. There's 77 neighborhoods in Colorado Springs. And so our job is to connect the neighbors with one another. And we also are the bridge between the neighborhoods and the city. And so the goal is to connect, build some relationship, and help create some changes in the neighborhoods. That's our job.
So that's just a natural overlap with what you're doing
exactly.
Already.
Yes.
And the reason that we invited you into the studio at this time is because as we record this on September 9th, you are in the throes of final organizational business for the 2025 Colorado Springs Walkability Summit.
Yes.
Now, by the time people are hearing this, the summit will have just happened.
And if you're interested in 2026, start thinking about it now, because the 2025, 10 days out plus, is already sold out. So there's a wait list, which by the time you hear this won't matter to you, but definitely keep your eyes on the Walkability Summit for 2026, because if you want to attend, it is a hot ticket item.
Which is good news. I'm really glad to see that. But that's why we aren't racing to get this published before the summit, because you don't need a bunch more people to line up just to be turned away. You got a full house.
I do have a full house, and I have a waiting list.
So will any part of the summit be recorded that you can share out to folks that aren't able to attend this year?
You know, that's a good idea. So that's definitely something for the next summit or my next steps for 2026. Because I also was asked if a person could come to the summit online. You know, at some point, yes. But now this momentum is here, and the next steps will be added.
Yeah, so next time, I guess.
Yeah.
I'd like to invite you to share some details about what you did in the Walkability Summit by the time people are hearing this. But first, I think it'd be good to kind of hear the story of how you got into walkability to begin with.
I would love to share my why. I am a stage 4 follicular lymphoma cancer survivor. Follicular lymphoma is a blood cancer. And during that time, that was 10 years ago. So I have survived for 10 years. But I had stage 4, and that means cancer all over my body, and I didn't know it for 5 years. I went and did a half a marathon in Las Vegas and walked it and didn't know I had cancer. And so in doing that, of course, it compromised my immune system. And then for the type of cancer I had to do another 2 years after that to maintain that the cancer will stay at bay, right? And so it not only continued to damage my immune system, now my immune system doesn't fight off infections and it doesn't heal itself. So every 4 weeks I have to go in and get a 2.5 hour infusion, and that's the plasma from the blood, because that's where the healthy antibodies are. And so doing that, it helps me fight off a common cold. And so from there, I needed to start getting out and walk and do things to build my lungs and just take care of my body. And a walking group sounds great. It's free and it costs nothing. But for accountability, and I hadn't walked in years, I decided to create some walking groups in the Southeast. So alongside other organizations came to be part of that. And then from there, 2.5 years into that, there was a decrease in engagement. And so I heard about a program called American Walks. It's a national program that advocates for walkability. And they had a walking college fellowship program. So I applied and I was accepted as a fellow. And it was a 6-month intensive program. And so I thought maybe I can find a way to engage and get more people to come back to walk. But instead, I found out so much about walkability. And at the end of that program, we needed to write an action plan. How are we going to use this information? And so me, I'm like, I learned so much about walkability, I wanted to do a walkability summit in Colorado Springs. Now, that's a large project to do. And others was doing signs and different things. And so just to let you know, there was 25 of us. This was in 2022. It was 25 of us representing Colorado. And I was the only one representing Colorado Springs. There was also another state, Alabama, and they had 25. And so I was like, well, if I didn't know about walkabilities, there's others in Colorado Springs. So let me do a summit to educate and make an awareness of what walkability is and how we can help ourselves and improve our city. And so that's how I got started, from my health and walking. And so from there, it just took off, you know, and I didn't expect that. And then AARP was the sponsor of this 6-month program. They heard about my project that I wanted to do, and so they created an opportunity for those who's doing a larger project to apply for a larger grant. That was $10,000, so I applied for that grant, and I got $7,500 of that. They initially gave all of us who graduated from the program $500, but that $500 will only pay for my keynote speaker because I had did my homework. So now I have $8,000. So that's how I was able to put on the first Colorado Springs walkability, sponsored by AARP and American Walks.
Who was the consultant that did the walkability study, the summit? Who put that all together?
I did. Yeah. I created it from the action plan, step by step, how I was going to do that. And AARP was impressed with that. And so they gave me the funds, but they let me do it the way in which I had put it in action plans.
Okay.
So I'm just thinking, during the fellowship, were there a lot of Zoom meetings involved in that?
We went to class in the evenings. We had mentors. They taught us how to do walking.
Because here's what I'm thinking. It made me think of Joaquin Mobley. You know that guy? He's the new publisher of the Pikes Peak Bulletin, and he's got this little coffee shop and gym called Wealthy over across
right
from
Acacia Park.
You should go visit him because he's got places in there where you can do a Zoom meeting while you're on a treadmill. So you can walk while you
and
meet.
And what's the name of it?
Wealthy. W-H-E-A-L.
Joaquin?
Yeah. We need to get you connected.
I know him, but I haven't been to the gym yet.
They have a juice bar in the front. A reason to
go. I heard about it.
So that's pretty just astounding. So you've continued this walkability work because you think is there some kind of a gap, a deficit, something that needs to be improved?
Yes. What I learned is, yes, we can walk for our health, but when it comes to walkability, it's under umbrella of livability. We in our society, in our city, in our neighborhood should have amenities in our neighborhood so we can live. So we can live healthy and prosperous. And so there's certain elements to it. You know, it's for, you know, transportation, economics, green space, you know, built environment. All of those different things fall up under that. So what I'm doing with my walkability proclamation, I'm breaking down each one of those that I cited in the proclamation. at the second summit that I'm doing, upcoming summit, I'm taking six of those topics off of my walkability proclamation. And one of those is multimobile accessibility. And so what is that? You know, there's so many forms of mobility, walking, but also biking. You got people in wheelchairs, you know, people pushing the child in a stroller. So it's different forms. And so I will be breaking those down. The next one is mixed use of land in every neighborhood. Just for an example, when developers decide they want to build an apartment or whatever, they have to consider putting some green space in it, you know, some form of social gathering. How are the children and the families going to come? Most of the apartments nowadays have some type of green space or small park in that. And so it's about how you're using the land in which we are living in, right? And then we have the sustainability contribution. You know, how are we sustaining our environment? And so I break those down. That's what we're doing. The first summit was to educate and make an awareness of walkability. Now it's time to do the work. So we're going to do the six topics, six presenters that will present on those topics, and then we will break out into breakout groups. Then the attendees can input. They have 45 minutes to input on that one topic. We'll be in different parts of the room talking about those things. And that is the start of the work, identifying what is needed, what are some of the concerns in the neighborhoods. As I mentioned, with Hey Neighbor, we have identified through the city there are 77 neighborhoods in Colorado Springs. While there is 35 plus that will be represented at the summit. So we have almost half of at least one person from the different neighborhoods. So each neighborhood is different. There's different problems, different solutions. And so when they come to the table, my goal is to, that they can add their voices to that topic. And that'll give good data to where we can start. The goal is to take those six topics that we break down, discuss, come up with solutions, ideas, the next steps. January 2026, we will start having workshops per those topics. So it will continue. So this is just the start. We will continue in 2026.
Moving from awareness and talking about it to actually doing something about it.
And that's what this summit is, doing something about it.
Lilia, of the 77 neighborhoods in Hey Neighbor, are any of them considered walkable or at least more walkable than others?
Let's put it that way. And I am going to be showing some of the walking scores, is what it's called. Walking scores. Each neighborhood have walking scores. The downtown have a walking score. The whole city of Colorado Springs have a walking score. I can speak on the southeast. Of course, our walking scores are lower than most. You know, we have some bike lanes, but not enough. On one side of Colorado Springs, I said on the east side of South Academy, there's bike lanes. But on the west side of Academy, there is no bike lane. We don't do a lot of bike riding anyway, but we are trying to get that together. And we have bike crusades and different things and partner with different organizations to get some more movements out of bikes and different things. But, you know, we have a lot of disparities in the South. And so that affects the walking scores. But yes, some walking scores are greater. And some, a neighborhood has walking groups. And I know that. My goal is to create more walking groups, not in the Southeast, because I've done that. As I continue to do my treatments every 4 weeks and I get sick at least once or twice out of the month, I had to come to terms. I'm not able to lead walking groups like I used to. So what I created was walking leader training. Starting July of 2025, I had my first walking leader training. I contract someone out of Denver called Walk to Connect. And they are initially, they are now the umbrella of American Walks. It's one of their programs now. And actually, two of them was my mentor for the program that I was underneath. So I hired them, And then I got one of the organizations to sponsor it. They paid for it, not me. I just created it, organized it, put it together, implemented, and brought it to Colorado Springs. So we had our first walking leader training people to go out and create their own walking groups in their neighborhood. My second one would be September the 27th. The first one was in Southeast. My second one on September 27, 2025, is in the downtown. My goal is to circle back around, and I'm talking about Colorado Springs walkability. So it's not the Southeast walkability. That's why I didn't name it that. So we will have that second walking leader training at the downtown Penrose Library. It's a 4.5-hour program in class.
Wow.
And then they walk out to do a walking audit. So we'll be doing some walking too.
So when someone attends the walking leader training, what kind of things do they learn to do in Colorado Springs?
Well, they will learn how to create their own walking group, what to look for, how to promote it. And as a leader, there's certain things that you need to be able to do. You need to make sure that your group is safe. You need to make sure that they know what to observe. If you have someone like myself who have some limit mobility, or I need my oxygen or my cane, then I'm walking in the back. Then we need to make sure we have someone trained for those who are not able to have the same pace. And so we teach you all of that. And then the walking audit, that is another plus to this training. Now we're going to take you outside and actually train you how to do a walking audit. So you got a twofold. You can take this back to your neighborhood, create a walking group, and then you can also do a walking audit. And that was my idea, because I can't be everywhere. And so I'm training others to take it on.
And the walking audit would be whichever route you decide to take that day, taking note of how easy it is to cross streets safely and things like that?
So when you do a walking audit, what you need to do is decide what's your route. In a walking groups, and you all walk, you come up with your own route where you're going to walk, come up with your own name and, your theme, whatever you want. But if you happen to be on a walk in a walking group, and then you start seeing some things that makes you uncomfortable or makes you not feel safe, that might be a good location to do a walking audit on. That's how you do it. And so not only would I have the walking leader training after the summit, but during the summit, I thought it was very important to show people. So we will have breakout groups. They're going outside, and we'll do a short walking audit. They'll come back in with their notes, and I show them how to score that. Because once you do a walking audit and you do your checklist, then you have to score each person that's in your group, each auditors. You collect all of your information together, and then once you come up with a score, good, bad, or, of that route, then you write a report. And AARP, because I am one of their partners now, did allow me to use their walking toolkit. And so they send me booklets for everyone for the summit. So we will work out of that book to show them exactly how to do it. It's a short version that I'm going to show them, but they will have the materials to do it with.
As I think of neighborhoods in Colorado Springs, most of them fail miserably for walkability. But one comes to mind that I think is actually very walkable, and that's the area around the Bond Shopping Center. And more so than any other place in the city, I think if you're going to take them someplace to assess good and bad, that would be a place that I would start, or at least on your list of neighborhoods, because there is good and bad.
Is it better than Research Parkway?
Well, for one thing, I grew up in an extremely walkable neighborhood in the Bronx. And within one block of my house, I had an elementary school, a neighborhood market. Within three blocks of my house, I had, it really wasn't a supermarket, but it was a much larger market. And then two candy stores, pizzeria, restaurants, dry cleaning, deli, and that was within three blocks. Within five blocks, there was a hospital. I had access to two subway stops and two different bus lines within a few blocks.
I wish everybody listening could see Lelia's face right now.
Yes, yes.
That was walkable.
Yes.
So as a citizen and resident of Colorado Springs, when I think walkable, you have to have access to groceries.
Absolutely.
And that's where most neighborhoods fail.
Yes.
Because we have supermarkets, and supermarkets usually have parking lots, which in and of itself says, this really isn't walkable. So the markets that I talked about did not have parking. Mm-hmm. You walked to the market. There was street parking, but there was no parking lot.
I understand. I finished high school in New York City. Okay. We walked everywhere. It was it's a walkable city. There's transportation.
Yes.
Whether it's taxis, buses, line up, subways, everyone walk in New York.
Yep.
Here in the Southeast, I was just complaining, there is 6 convenience stores in a 2-mile radius to me. They just put in the mail that they're building the 7th one.
So you can always get a bag of Doritos at a moment's
notice. Yes, all the unhealthy food that you want. But what we've been asking for is a hospital, some type of health care, and we also been asking for a grocery store. So we got a whole lot of fast food places, but not enough sit down. And so when you talk about walkability and livability, those are the amenities that you need. You need to have some form of entertainment, grocery stores, health care, all the different things that you just mentioned. And then I would like to talk about the downtown. Colorado Springs is making the downtown walkable. Have y'all not noticed that? It is now a walkable downtown. They have just, and still, this project that they're doing now is $8 million that they have now extended the sidewalks. On the sidewalks, the zoning is 5 feet. 2 people should be able to walk on the sidewalk. And the older neighborhoods are just this walking on. Only one person can walk at a time. Maybe back then, the zoning was lesser, but 2 people should be able to walk on the sidewalk. A person in a wheelchair should be able to walk on the sidewalk. A person in a stroller, and actually had a father that was pushing his child in a stroller, you know, but none of us could get before him or behind him because, you know, it was so narrow. But what I like about what the city of Colorado have just done, the mayor did a video, they extended the sidewalk 10 feet. Because I believe what happened was during COVID, the restaurants, you know, put the tables out down on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So now everyone can walk. You got to walk one at a time. So they noticed that. And so they extended out. It is now 10 feet. So now people can walk 2 at a time on the sidewalk like you're supposed to. But they also made the streets a little more calming because they took some of the lanes up to extend out. And so I've been watching. They also put up grocery store downtown. I've been here 48 years. There was no grocery store down there. They now have a grocery store a couple of years ago. But they also now have many apartments that they put in down there. Mm-hmm. So livability, you know, have improved. People can go out and walk. They already had the restaurants. They already had the entertainment. So Colorado Springs is making the downtown more walkable. That narrative is right in our face. And so, I love to see that. But I love to see the same walkability improvement in all of the neighborhoods.
Yep. And talking about the little grocery stores and the bodegas, the kinds you guys were talking about, mm-hmm. when they don't have a parking lot and you're walking or biking there, it also automatically ties in that social aspect because you can't go to the grocery store once and buy enough groceries for the entire week. You go to buy 1 or 2 days worth of meals, which means you go back and you interact with the same neighbors and you interact with the clerks that are there. And when they're smaller bodega styles, it's the same 2 or 3 employees that are always there. So it's this friendship that's built in, this camaraderie. And even if you live alone and you eat alone, it forces you to have that human engagement that we all need, that I know is a part of what Hey Neighbor is all about, is not just connecting the neighborhoods, but connecting the neighbors.
Yes, that is the last of the 6 topics. My last topic is on social interaction.
Yeah.
And so that is what we're going to be addressing as well. You know, the mayor last year did 1,000 gatherings, and so they extended it this year to the end of September. You know, neighbors getting out, gathering for whatever. You sign up, you know. But then that's very important because we need to connect. You know, walking, biking, moving for our health, we need to physically and mentally engage ourselves. And doing that, you know, walking really helps, but anything we do and connecting with others makes a difference, prolong our life, make us happy, you know, and I think that's very important. That's part of walkability as well, and that's why I'm addressing social interaction.
Well, thank you for being such a champion for this. This is great.
Yes.
Well, if I may say, it's because I'm walking the walk. My motto is, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. I'm walking it. I'm walking the health and wellness, you know, and one of my topics is lifestyle changes. So I'm trying to make those changes. And so if I can help someone else and model that behavior, you know, get out and walk for your health, I had to do that from my doctor's instructions, you know. Get out for your mental health, because I did receive PTSD, anxiety, and depression from my trauma from cancer. And so all of this, lifestyle changes, social interaction, everything that I'm talking about, or bring an expert to talk about, because I need it. And so if I need it, it means someone else need it. And so I'm just doing what I can do to help myself while I'm helping others.
You got four people sitting around a table that all agree that walkability is important. Millennials grew up with driver's licenses being, meh, don't really need one, don't really want one. But now the youngest generation, where are they, and are any of the 75 who are attending the summit like 18 to 21 years old?
Well, because it is on a Friday and it is from 8 to 3:30, I open it up to the whole public. We will have some.
Good.
And then I also invited other organizations that has that population that they're serving. I open it up. So anyone could have came. My son is out of Atlanta. I invited him to be my MC. He's a physical trainer. And then I also have other younger generation that would be facilitators at the table, special social interaction. That's where I have them at. So there will be a few, but it was open to all. So my focus will be on the senior, since I am of that age. That's the group I wanted to focus on as far as creating some walking groups for that group, because there's social interaction and social isolation in that group. And then also the younger generation. So I will be talking to CC College and hopefully get some interns and get some stuff started with that age group.
Thank you.
So Lelia, you're wrapping up. If someone wants to get walk leader training or be involved in those workshops that are going to be starting up at the beginning of the year, or make sure they don't miss the next Walkability Summit, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Right now, email me at lgibsongreen12@gmail.com. Or they can go out on Instagram at the same Colorado Walkability.
Colorado Walkability on
mm-hmm.
Instagram? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I've been promoting the walking leader training on both of those platforms. And so they can sign up. Anyone can sign up.
Lastly, do you want to mention the sponsors of the 2025 Colorado Springs Walkability Summit?
Yes. We have Black Packers. They do hiking and different activities. And then we have Pikes Peak Outdoors Recreation Alliance. They are one of the sponsors. AARP, Hey Neighbor, Peak Vista. And then I have some private sponsors as well.
The Loving the Springs podcast, too.
Absolutely.
Proud to be a sponsor.
Yes, you are. And there, I'm probably missing someone.
If you were missed, it was because we put her on the spot.
Yeah, should have my little notes.
She doesn't have her notes. Yeah. Speaking off the cuff. Well, thanks for that.
And Diversist Health. They also sponsored me with the first one. And so did Peak Vista and Deerfield. Yeah, so there's a lot of people.
It takes a village.
Absolutely take a village. And I need that village for the next events coming up. You know, because when I do get sick, I get behind.
Well, hopefully we can get you some more help.
Well, I appreciate it. I need volunteers.
Thank you for being involved in the community.
30 plus years.
We have to ask.
I was going to say, you have the question, don't you, Al?
The question. What is it that you love about Colorado Springs?
Be honest with you, it's just the air I can breathe. I'm an asthmatic That's why I had to leave New York, and my parents had to bring me here many years ago. And it's just beautiful, and I can breathe and just fresh air and the peace that I find in it.
Thank you.
Fresh yes. air.
Peace.
Times Square.
Peace.
Oh, those two don't go together.
No. Fresh you are air. My wife. Goodbye, city life. Green Acres, we are there.
Now, who would know that other than us?
Yeah. We want to thank The Next Us. This is where our Studio 809 Community Podcast studio resides. We have a great partnership with The Next Us, which is a professional cooperative environment for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening to the Loving the Springs podcast, where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.